And now for our story. Max Tilly is on trial for his life. Benjamin Carter has been killed by Max, but in self-defense. The circumstances around the actual killing are somewhat confused. Max knows how it happened, but according to the prosecution's evidence, it wasn't self-defense, but premeditated murder. If the state can prove this against Max, it will mean the extreme penalty. Friday, the witnesses for the prosecution gave some very serious evidence against Max, especially Miff, Carter's former henchman. Miff told how he found the body with Deputy Sheriff Andrews, and that Carter apparently hadn't had a chance to defend himself, but had been brutally shot down. The room was in perfect order, belying Max's confession to the effect that there was a terrific fight in which the gun was discharged. We open today's episode a few seconds after Friday's close. Dr. John Benson had been called to the stand to testify for the prosecution. Max couldn't understand this, as he thought that Benson was on his side. We take you now to the courtroom, where Dr. John Benson is taking the stand.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to help you?
I do.
Be seated. What is your name?
John Benson.
You are a doctor, are you not?
Yes. I'm in charge of the Sanders Clinic.
In your capacity as a doctor, were you called in to examine the body of the deceased Benjamin Carter?
I was.
Will you tell us what you found?
I was called to the Stratford Hotel by Deputy Sheriff Andrews to examine the body of Benjamin Carter. I found the body lying face downward on the floor of his office. He'd been dead for about an hour.
Did you examine the body?
Yes, I did. We found that he'd been killed by a pistol fired at very close range. The bullet had severed the spinal cord, causing death instantly.
You say the bullet severed the spinal cord, Doctor. Could you determine how the gun was held to affect the wound?
Well, it's obvious that the gun was held to the deceased's back and fired at very close range.
In the back, eh?
Yes.
Dr. Benson, what was the condition of the room as you found it?
Everything was in order, except for an overturned chair, which Carter probably overturned as he fell.
Was there anything in the room that would indicate that a struggle had taken place?
No. Everything except the fallen chair was in order.
Now, Dr. Benson, are you a good friend of Max Tilly's?
Yes, I am. I consider myself one of his best friends.
Have you always been his friend since you've known him?
No.
Why were you unfriendly?
I object, Your Honor. This is entirely immaterial and irrelevant.
What reason do you have for that question, Mr. Hinkler?
Your Honor, I'm trying to get at the reason for Dr. Benson's distrust of the defendant. A man like Benson, a man high in his profession and with his reputation, would not have cause to be unfriendly without a purpose.
Well, will this testimony be related to this case?
Yes, Your Honor.
Then I shall have to overrule your objection, Mr. Clinton. You may proceed, Mr. Hinkler.
Exception? Did you object to Max Tilly because you first knew him to be a gangster, a hoodlum?
Max Tilly is a fine man. One of the finest...
Your Honor, I ask that the witness's last remark be stricken out as not responsive.
Yes, strike it out. You must answer counsel's questions, Doctor.
Yes, sir.
Why did you dislike Max Tilly when you first met him?
I disliked him because he was a gangster, and I believed him unfit for society. But since then...
Just answer my question, Doctor. Now, Dr. Benson, you analyzed the water in the spring, did you not?
I did.
Was there anything in the water that might have been harmful or poisonous?
Absolutely not.
Who supplied the bottles that the spring water was bottled in?
Well, I did. I sent them over from the clinic.
Was there anything in the bottles when you sent them over?
No. I'd used them. Well, in fact, they'd contained a food formula for infants that I'd been using over the clinic.
Were they clean?
After each bottle was empty, I always had it rinsed. And even if it hadn't been rinsed, there were no ingredients in the formula that would have hurt anybody.
I see. Can you account for the way the poison got into the bottled water?
Well, Max Tilly told me that Carter poisoned the water.
Don't you think that this alleged poisoning of the spring water is probably just an excuse for the murder, an alibi?
I object!
Objection sustained.
Let me rephrase that question. When did Max Tilly come to you with his story of the poisoned water?
On June the 9th. I remember it very distinctly. because the next day was the 5th month anniversary of Max Tilly's marriage to Mary Southern.
What did he say to you?
When the test proved that the water was poisoned, he became very angry.
What did he say?
I don't remember.
Did he say anything about murdering Carter?
I'll check.
Objection overruled. You may answer, Dr. Benson.
Yes, he did.
Thank you, Doctor. Order,
order,
Mr. Clinton.
Dr. Benson, at first you say you didn't like Max Tilly, but you later became one of his closest friends. Why?
Because Max Tilly is one of the finest men I know. He's got a heart bigger than himself. And to know the man is to like him.
In other words, when you first met him, you disliked him. But after you got to know him, all that changed.
Yes, sir.
And knowing Max Tilly as you do, you are sure he's not the same man he was when he came to this town.
There's no comparison. Max Tilly, as I know him now, is one of the finest men I've ever met.
Thank you, Doctor. You may stand down.
Thank you.
Just a moment, Dr. Benson. I have one more question to ask you. As a doctor, do you think it possible for a man with a criminal, a warped brain, to ever really reform?
Yes, there have been many cases.
Don't you think that under the stress of great emotion, it is most likely that he will revert to type?
Objection.
Objection overruled. Proceed, please.
What was that question again, please?
Isn't it likely that a reformed criminal will revert to type under stress of strong emotions?
Yes. In general, I'd say yes. But,
Thank you, Doctor. That is all.
Call your next witness, Mr. Hinkler.
I call John Davis to the stand.
John Davis, yes, sir, to the stand. Sure, John Davis. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you?
I do.
Now be seated, please.
Mr. Davis, how long have you known the defendant, Max Tilly?
Ever since he came here, to this town, I mean.
You are associated with him in a business way?
Yes, he was director of the Sanders Interests, and I was vice chairman.
Then you would say that you know him quite well.
Well, better than I care to know him.
Just answer my question, please.
Yes, I knew him quite well.
From your observation of him and your association with him, can you give us any picture of his character?
Yes, I certainly can. He has a vicious temper. He's absolutely unstable. Not a fit person to be allowed to live in civilized society.
Mr. Davis, can you give us the reasons for your feeling this way about him?
Why, certainly. On several occasions he has, without provocation, punched me on the jaw. On one occasion he threw me down a flight of stairs, merely because I dared to disagree with him about a certain point in the running of his business.
A vicious, uncontrolled temper, and the absolute inability to cooperate with people in simple things. Is that right?
That's right. He's a dangerous man.
Rats, say I'll fix you for that.
No, order. Order in the court. Order. Order. I must warn you, Mr. Tilly. I won't tolerate another outburst like that. Order, please. Proceed with your witness, Mr. Hinkler.
I don't believe it will be necessary for me to question this witness further. You may cross-examine, Mr. Clinton.
Mr. Davis, you're an honorable, upright man, are you not? Well, I've always done my best to serve my community.
What about yourself, Mr. Davis? You've done pretty well for yourself, too, haven't you?
I object, Your Honor.
Objection sustained. Mr. Clinton, Mr. Davis is not on trial here.
No, Your Honor. The worst offenders are never brought to trial.
I consider that remark entirely uncalled for. Strike it from the record. Mr. Clinton, if you continue along these lines, I shall have to hold you in contempt of court. Please proceed.
Mr. Davis, as soon as you knew that Max Tilly had been indicted, you took over the Sanders Corporation. Why?
Well, it was only natural. I was next in command, and I had to, protect the stockholders.
Are you sure you were thinking of the stockholders?
What? I don't understand you.
What are you trying to get at, Mr. Clinton?
Your Honor, I'm trying to get at the fact that John Davis doesn't like Max Tilly for more reasons than personal ones. He wants to control the Sanders' interests. He wants Max Tilly out of the way because Max Tilly was interfering with his plans. His entire testimony so far has been biased and unfair and untruthful.
And I ask your honor to have every word of it stricken from the record.
Order, please. Order. Order. Do I understand, Mr. Clinton, that you are charging Mr. Davis with perjury? Do you have substantiating proof of your statements?
No, Your Honor. At present, I have not.
And then it will be necessary for me to have your statement stricken from the record. You may continue with your cross-examination.
I have no more questions to ask this witness. He may stand down.
Order, please, order. Order. Order in the courtroom, please. As it is approaching the lunch hour, I shall call a recess until 2 o'clock. At which time, Mr. Hinkler, you may present your next witness. The court is recessed.
Say, how does it look now, Pete?
I don't know, Max. It looks like we're going to need some kind of a miracle to help us beat this case. It's as tight as a drum for the prosecution.
Yeah. Oh, it looks as though everyone and everything were against us.
Max, things look very bad.
But we're not beaten yet. We're not beaten yet. We're just beginning the fight.
Yes, Mary. But as Mr. Clinton said, it looks as tight as a drum for the prosecution. Does this mean that Max will be convicted? And if convicted, will it mean that he'll... Well, the defense hasn't its case yet. We hope for Max and for Mary that it's a good, strong one. Don't miss a single exciting episode in the life of Mary Southern, brought you with the good wishes of Heinz, honey, and almond cream. And now for our story. Max Tilley is on trial for the killing of Benjamin Carter. The prosecution has built up a very strong case of premeditated murder against Max. If Peter Clinton, the defense counsel, can't break it down, Max will be in a very dangerous position. Before the story opens today, several people have been called by the state as witnesses. 3 doctors who testified that Max was not insane at the time of the killing. A ballistics expert who testified that the bullet removed from the body of Benjamin Carter could only have been fired from Max's pistol. And several others who testified to Max's hot temper. We take you now to the courtroom as a witness is just leaving the stand.
Order. Order in the court. Call your next witness, Mr. Hinkler.
The state has no more witnesses. The state rests.
Very well. Mr. Clinton, you may open for the defense.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, gentlemen of the jury, the district attorney, Mr. Hinkler, told you at the outset that he expected to prove this defendant, Max Tilley, a murderer, a cold-blooded, brutal murderer. He told you a story such as district attorneys always concoct for the purpose of convicting an alleged murderer. He had to have a motive. And regardless of whether or not the truth could be met, he was determined to supply that motive. The motive that he found is that of greed. He says Max Tilley wanted Carter's money and property, was envious of Benjamin Carter, but he fails to tell us how Max Tilley could have gotten the property even if he had had the motive. I ask you, therefore, to listen to the defendant, to his evidence, compare it with that of the state, and satisfy yourself, gentlemen, that justice is done in this courtroom today. That is your duty. I ask you in the name of fairness and decency to perform it with courage and honesty.
I call the first witness for the defense.
I call John Fowler to the stand.
John Fowler. John Fowler to the stand. Yes. You always swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you?
I do.
Now be seated, please.
Thank you. John Fowler, you know the defendant, Max Tilley?
Oh, yes, indeed. I do know him, and I know him very well. I number him among my best friends. Have you had any business dealings with him?
Well, yes, in somewhat indirect fashion, though. We've all been tied up, so to speak, in the Sanders Springs Corporation.
By that you mean the bottling and selling of the natural spring water found on the estate of Alfred Gulliver Stratford?
Yes, that's right.
How long have you known Max Tilly?
Well, I don't know exactly. I should say for several years. I first became interested in Sanders through the building of the present Stratford Southern Arms Hotel. I was somewhat influential in its promotion and construction. I met Max then through Mr. Stratford.
Are you at present interested in some project in Sanders?
Oh, yes. My company, its main offices are in Chicago. It's financing the building of a new hotel for Mr. Stratford.
Now, have you ever met the deceased Benjamin Carter?
I should say I had. And I might add that I've never met a meaner, more unscrupulous, and
objection sustained. Confine yourself to the questions, Mr. Fowler, please.
Yes, of course, I would.
Now, you may strike out that last line of the witness's testimony, beginning with, I might add, and so forth. Proceed, please.
What kind of a man was Benjamin Carter?
Well, to put it mildly, not a very nice one. I'll tell you that.
I object! Your Honor, this testimony is entirely irrelevant and immaterial.
Will you tie up this testimony with a case, Mr. Clinton?
I will, Your Honor. I will show motive.
Well, then I will admit it subject to connection.
Mr. Fowler, would you say he was honest?
Definitely not.
Would you say that he might even stoop to so dastardly a deed as poisoning the spring water with the intention
of... I object, Your Honor. Benjamin Carter is dead. He's not on trial here. The attorney for the defense is leading the witness.
Objection sustained.
Now, just answer this one question, Mr. Fowler.
Yes.
Would you trust Max Tilly's honesty and truthfulness?
Implicitly.
Thank you. You may cross-examine, Mr. Hinkler.
No questions from this witness. You may stand down. Called your next witness, Mr. Clinton.
I called Alfred Stratford to the stand.
Alfred Stratford to the stand. Alfred Stratford. First of all, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Help you.
There you go.
Be seated, please.
Mr. Stratford?
Yeah?
You know the defendant, Max Tilly?
Of course I know him. That's a silly question.
Please answer my question.
Well, everybody in town knows I know him. He's like the son to me.
Just answer the questions, Mr. Stratford.
Okay, sir.
And you will please address me as Your Honor.
Oh, so you're going to be that way too, eh? Okay, Your Honor.
Please proceed, Mr.
How long have you known Max Tilly, Mr. Stratford?
Well, I feel like I've known him all my life. But it's only been about 4 years.
Mr. Stratford, in all that time, have you seen him do anything that you felt was unlawful or sinful?
Objection, Your Honor. What the witness thought or thinks is not important here.
That's what you think.
I must ask Your Honor to reprimand this witness.
Oh, so you're afraid to do what you said?
Your Honor.
Please, Mr. Stratford.
Well, if you say please, what can you guy do?
Proceed, Mr. Clinton.
Now, Mr. Stratford, would you tell us all the events leading up to the poisoning of Mary Southern Sanders?
Sure. Well, first of all, this guy Carter comes to Sanders with a proposition. A dirty proposition, you can be
objection.
Sure.
Objection!
Please, Mr. Stratford.
Huh? Oh, I got you, Judge. I mean, Your Honor. Well, I won't say the proposition was dirty because it ain't legal or something, but... Good night, Satan, and holy Moses, it was dirty, even if I can't say it to you.
Objection, objection!
Are you in again?
Your Honor, I ask that the witness's remarks be stricken from the record.
They may be struck out.
That's two strikes on you, Hinkley. One more strike and you're out.
I appeal to Your Honor.
Okay, I mean, very well. Mr. Stratford, you will discontinue this horseplay and get on with your evidence.
Well, where was I? Oh, yes, Carter wanted to buy the hotel, my hotel. And that was funny because I don't know why anybody would want to buy it. I was losing money on it every year. I immediately smelled a mice. My son Danny smelled one, too. So between us, we figured that it must be a...
Must be what, Mr. Stratford?
You know what the judge said I mustn't say about Carter, a rat.
Your Honor!
Okay, Your Honor, I won't say it no more, but Mr. Clinton here asked me.
Please proceed, Mr. Stratford.
So we started to investigate, and we found out that he was right, that it was a Mr. Carter. Well, I sold him the hotel anyway, because I found that the springs was on my property after all. So it didn't matter if Carter did have the hotel. Wouldn't do him any good anyway, without the spring water.
This is all a little confusing, Mr. Stratford. What do you mean it wouldn't do him any good?
Oh, well, didn't I tell you? Carter only wanted the hotel for one reason. That was because of the springs. They would have made him a fortune, but I own the piece of land adjoining there where the springs are really located.
I see.
Yeah. When Carter found out that he had the piece of property there where the springs wasn't, well, she saw it.
What did he do about it, Mr. Stafford?
Oh, he did all kinds of rotten things. He threatened to injure Max if Mary didn't ask me to let him use some of the water from the springs for his hotel.
And did you?
Why, sure I did. I'd do anything for Mary and Max. They're the salt of the earth.
Was Mr. Carter satisfied with that arrangement?
Well, I don't like to talk about the dead, but that guy wouldn't be satisfied until he had everything.
I object, Your Honor.
Objection sustained. Strike out the last remark, please.
That's all you've been doing. Strike, strike, strike.
I don't want to warn you again, Mr. Stratford. Please go on. Order, please.
He went about trying to get everything. First, he pretended to be our friend. Gave us the basement of the hotel to use for our bottling works. Helped us to put the machinery together and then poisoned the water so as we couldn't sell it.
I object, I object. There is no evidence to support the contention that Benjamin Carter poisoned the water, even if it were poisoned. I ask that those remarks be stricken out.
You better put on a new record. Is that all you can think of?
Mr. Stratford, I have warned you repeatedly about these outbursts, and I have been very lenient with you. I ask you not to make another disturbance. Strike out the last answer. Continue, please.
That's all, Mr. Stratford. You may cross-examine.
Mr. Stratford, have you any proof that Benjamin Carter poisoned the water?
Well, we found a hole in the pipeline from the spring, and we found some of the stuff, the poison around the pipe.
But isn't it entirely possible that someone else could have poisoned the water?
Well, who?
I'm asking the questions.
You tell me, and I'll tell you.
Your Honor, will you direct this witness to answer the question?
Mr. Stratford, answer counsel's question, please.
Well, I don't know of anyone else who would do it.
But it's possible, isn't it, that someone else might have poisoned the spring water?
Yes, it's possible, but I...
One answer at a time, please. When you discovered the poison, what did you do?
I didn't really find it. The Max did.
Oh, Max Tilly found it. What did he say to you?
I don't remember exactly.
Was he angry?
What do you think he'd be? Mary almost died on account of it.
What did he say? Try and remember.
He said something about, this looks like Carter's work. If it is, I get it.
And by get him, he meant kill him, didn't he?
I didn't say...
That's all. You needn't answer that question.
But by golly, I want to answer.
That's all, Mr. Stratford. You may stand down.
I'm not going to stand down until I've had my say. You're not going to make me.
Mr. Stratford, you will please stand down or be in contempt of court.
Well, that's just how I feel, contempt of court.
What was that?
Well, okay, Judge, I'll go quietly.
Very well. Order, please. Order in the court.
I guess I told him a thing or two.
Well, I know one thing, Mr. Stratford.
Yeah, what's that?
It would have been impossible for you to have done worse.
Well, Daddy, you didn't do very much to help Max's case, but you certainly broke a lot of rules and set a new precedent for court procedure. What will happen to Max? The first day of the defense went very poorly for him. Be sure to listen tomorrow for new and exciting developments in Max's fight for his life. The Life of Mary Southern is brought to you with the best wishes of Heinz Honey and Almond Cream. And now for our story. Max Tilly is on trial for his life. The courtroom is crowded. Every nook and cranny is filled. And people have even climbed upon the windowsills and up in trees overlooking the courtroom outside. The jury is already in the box. Max Tilly is sitting at the defense table with his counsel, Mr. Clinton. And along the railing back of them in the courtroom sits Mary, Daddy, Danny, Phyllis, John Fowler, Burberry, Rube, Mrs. Brown, Dr. Benson, in fact, a great many of both friends and witnesses on Max's behalf. Well, here's something exciting happening up there on the stand. It seems to be none other than Viola Burberry, who is testifying in regard to Max's character. District Attorney Hinkler is cross-examining the witness.
You didn't like Mr. Carter, did you, Mrs. Burberry?
Objection, Your Honor.
Well, what are you trying to show, Mr. Hinkler, by that question?
I'm trying to show, Your Honor, that this witness's testimony is unreliable because she is blindly prejudiced.
Now, very well. Objection overruled. Continue, please.
Now, Mrs. Burberry, you were at home that afternoon Mr. Carter visited this defendant's wife. The very afternoon before he was found, shot to death. Did you see anything in his manner when he talked that afternoon to Mary Southern that was offensive in any way?
Oh, why, well, he didn't have any business to come to the house and Mr. Tilly wasn't home.
That isn't what I asked you. Was Benjamin Carter offensive in any way to Mary Southern?
No.
Didn't he, in fact, try to make amends for the differences between himself and this defendant?
Well, I heard him ask Mary, Mrs. Southern, to be friends.
Now, Mrs. Burberry, isn't it a fact that Mr. Carter told Mrs. Southern that he was sorry to hear that she had been poisoned?
Well, I guess so.
Answer yes or no.
Yeah.
That is all. You may leave the stand.
I call Mr. Wallace Evans to the stand.
Mr. Wallace Evans, take the stand, please. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to help you?
I do.
Be seated, please.
Mr. Evans, you're a druggist in this town, I believe.
That's right. Wally Evans, they call me. Evans Kitty Corner, drugstore, best sodas in town. That's me.
Now, Mr. Evans, did this defendant ever come into your store to buy rat poison?
Max Tilly? No, I can't remember that he ever did.
Of course, you keep a record of all the poison you sell?
Oh, yes. Yes, we're required to do that by law, and I obey the law.
Very well. On the day of Friday, April 29th last, do you remember that day, Mr. Evans?
Friday, the 29th of April? I'll say I do. It was my wedding anniversary.
Fine. Then you do remember the 29th. What happened on that day, Mr. Evans, that you might remember distinctly?
Well, a fellow I'd seen loafing around town came into my drugstore to buy some poison.
What kind of poison, Mr. Evans?
The kind they use sometimes to kill rats. I call it Socko.
Did you sell this stranger some poison?
I'll say quite a bit. That's why I asked him where he come from before I'd let him have it.
And what did he say to your question?
He said, I got some rats to get rid of. Don't get so snoopy, see? And I said, I think you'd better tell me your name.
Mr. Evans, is that stranger in this courtroom?
Yes, that's him. There.
Myth, they call him. Whoop pole! Stand up! Is that the man, Mr. Evans?
That's him.
Have you seen this man any place since the time he bought the poison?
I seen him in Mr. Carter's hotel. He was the hotel clerk.
That's all. You may cross-examine.
Mr. Evans, I just want to ask you one question.
Yes, sir.
Did this man, Myth Cole, say at the time he bought the rat poison of which you speak, that he was working for the deceased Benjamin Carter?
No, not that I recall.
Didn't mention in any way that he wanted this poison to kill people with.
Object, Your Honor. That question is not only irrelevant, but ridiculous.
Your Honor.
Objection overruled. Continue, please.
No, he didn't say anything about giving it to people. He said he had to get rid of rats.
To your knowledge, Mr. Evans, did Benjamin Carter have any connection whatsoever with the actual buying and ultimate use of this poison?
Well, I can't say.
Answer yes or no.
No.
That's all? You may step down.
Call Dr. John Benson to the stand, please.
Dr. John Benson to the stand. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you?
I do.
Be seated, please.
Dr. Benson, you've known the defendant for some time, I believe.
Yes, I've known Max Tilly for a number of years.
Now, from what you know of Max Tilly, both as a professional man and as a friend, would you say he was a killer?
Why, no. No, I would not say that. Not by nature. He's not a killer.
But it is possible that he might be suffering from some mental derangement, say, temporary insanity brought on by great stress.
I object, Your Honor. The defense is leading the witness.
Objection sustained. You must not continue that line of questioning, Mr. Clinton.
I am sorry, Your Honor. Now, Dr. Benson, let me state that question in another way.
Did incidents in the life of this defendant develop during the period leading up to the fatal shooting of Benjamin Carter, which might be considered shocking in their extent?
Yes, most certainly.
I object, Your Honor. The defense is introducing a line of argument not previously prepared for in this case.
Mr. Clinton, will you show this court the relevancy of this line of questioning?
Yes, Your Honor. This line of questioning is entirely relevant. I intend to show by this witness's testimony that the defendant was temporarily insane at the time the shooting occurred.
You can't rule.
I ain't crazy.
Order.
Now, Dr. Benson, did you know that poison had been placed in the pipes leading to the bottling works?
Max Tilly came to me and showed me the poison which he'd found there. It's commonly used as rat poison.
And how do you connect the poisoning of Mary Southern with the defendant's sudden insanity?
The poisoning of Mary Southern led to further complications, which I was forced to tell to Mr. Tilly, and it caused him to brood.
Would you say there were further extenuating circumstances?
Yes, I believe so. Benjamin Carter, the man Max Tilly hated most and feared most, had visited Mary Southern at the Sanders home when she lay ill. And this occurred the same afternoon I revealed to Mr. Tilly the seriousness of his wife's illness.
What do you think happened as a result of these two incidents coinciding?
Well, I think Max Tilly's mind snapped.
To your knowledge, Dr. Benson, has Max Tilly been a good citizen, a helpful neighbor, a worthy individual in this community?
Yes, and I can say that with all sincerity.
Thank you, Dr. Benson. You may cross-examine.
Just a minute, Dr. Benson. This time, when the defendant, Mr. Tilly, told you about discovering this poison, so-called, did he say whom he suspected of putting that poison in the pipeline?
Yes, he suspected Carter.
Benjamin Carter. Now, did the defendant make any threats against Mr. Carter at the time he spoke to you?
He was pretty much upset about it.
Just what did he say, Dr. Benson?
He said a man like Carter ought to be put out of the way so he couldn't do any more harm.
Don't you think that shows premeditation on the part of the defendant?
I guess...
I don't want your guesses. Answer me yes or no.
I can't answer that question, yes or no.
That's all from you. You may leave the stand.
Oh, Mr. Clinton, you've got to let me testify for Max. Please put me on the stand.
Well, it's a terrible ordeal for you, but if you insist... All right. Call Mary Southern to the stand, please.
Mary Southern, take the stand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
So be seated, please.
Mary Southern, before God, this jury and the court, in the face of the prosecution for this state, do you have any reason to believe that Max Tilly committed this crime in cold blood as the prosecution has set forth?
I object, Your Honor.
Objection overruled. You may answer the question. You may answer the question.
No. I asked my husband in this prison cell to tell me the truth. That I'd stand by him, whatever it was. But I must know the truth. He said he did not kill Benjamin Carter. He shot him in self-defense. I believe him completely.
Mrs. Southern, in your knowledge, is your husband in any way a vicious man?
Max has done many things that are not right in the eyes of the law. That was when he was under the bad influence of hoodlums and gangsters. But since I've known him and married him, he's been the most lovable, the most considerate husband a woman could have.
Thank you, Mary Southern. You may take the witness, Mr. Tilly.
Now, Mrs. Tilly, isn't it possible that your husband could have quarreled that night with Benjamin Carter, could have shot him in cold blood?
It may be possible, Mr. Hinckley, but I don't believe it's so.
Your husband did admit to you that he put his gun in his pocket before he went over to Mr. Carter's hotel that night?
He acted strangely that night as he went out of the house. He told me afterwards that everything was hazy in his mind.
Did he admit that the desire to kill was in his mind when he made his way to Carter's office that night?
Well, he wasn't in his right mind. He couldn't have been. Can't you see? He couldn't have been.
That is all, Mr. Carter. That is all. You may step down.
Oh, Toots. Toots, you were wonderful.
I call Max Tilly to the stand.
Max Tilly, take the stand.
Well, what an exciting day this proved to be. It looked bad for Max until Mary took the stand. In spite of the briefness of her testimony, her sincerity, the directness of her answers, and the clearness of her convictions seemed to have had a marked reaction on the courtroom, and on the jury, too, we hope. Now Max has taken the stand. Will Max Tilly be able to stand up against the sharp cross-examination of the clever prosecuting attorney? Do not miss tomorrow's episode in the life of Mary Southern, presented by Heinz Honey and Almond Cream. Now for our story. The dramatic trial of Max Tilly for his life reached a climax yesterday when Mary Southern went on the stand and defended Max's character and intent in the fatal shooting of Benjamin Carter. Mary made a definite impression on the court, and we only hope Max does as well. The afternoon session of the court has just been called, and Max Tilly has just taken the stand to resume his testimony as defense attorney Clinton examines him.
Order in the courtroom.
Now, Mr. Tilly.
Yeah.
On that fatal night when Mr. Carter was killed, what time did you get home?
About 6:30.
What did you do before you came home?
I talked to Doc Benson about the poison that I found in Carter's basement. The poison that almost killed my wife.
Did you find out anything else from Dr. Benson at that time?
Yeah, I did.
What was it you found out from Dr. Benson?
Well, I can't say now.
Was it about your wife's illness?
I can't say.
But you must say, Max. Don't you realize your whole life may depend upon your answers to my questions?
Yeah, I know. Well, ask me any other question, Pete, but I can't answer that.
Very well. After Dr. Benson told you this, what did you do?
Well, I ain't quite sure about it all now. It's kind of fuzzy in my mind.
You mean your mind wasn't functioning properly after that disclosure by Dr. Benson?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I began to see what an awful thing this man Carter had done to my family.
And then what did you do?
Well, I only called him Mary. My Mary, who suffered so much. I wanted to go home and help her. Take her in my arms and tell her that it was all right.
And did you go home?
Yeah. And there was Mary.
Oh, Max. Oh, Max, darling, at last you've come home.
Huh?
I've waited so long all day for you. What's the trouble, Max? Come over and sit by me. I'm lonely.
I shouldn't have come out of the hospital today, Toots. I didn't know he was coming.
Oh, I wanted to surprise you, Max, so much. Aren't you glad?
Say, you don't know.
And I had a visitor today, Max.
Yeah?
The last man in the world you'd expect to come here.
Oh, Mary.
Benjamin Carter.
Carter? Carter come here to my home?
Max, we mustn't be afraid to have him come here if his intentions are all right.
Carter, come here. Snake in my home.
Now, Max, you'd better get ready for dinner, darling.
So, you don't know when to stop, huh? Oh, Mary, I might be kind of late for dinner tonight. I'm going out for a while. There was something like that that happened. I went upstairs and got my gun. I stopped by the nursery to kiss the twins, and then I went out.
Do you remember distinctly all these steps in your experience that night?
Well, not exactly. You see, it was kind of far off. I was walking around, but I seemed to be away from myself, watching myself.
Max, would you say that your thoughts were coherent at that time?
I don't know what you mean, Pete.
Well, did everything seem to make sense to you?
Well, if you mean that I know what I was doing, well, yeah. I was going to kill a snake.
You mean this dreamlike state seemed so actual that it became real to you?
Yeah.
Now, Max. You heard what the expert witnesses earlier in the trial said about your state of mind at that time.
Yeah, they said a lot of stuff that I don't get. I guess they mean that I was nuts for a while.
Now, about that testimony of Miss Cole's, and about the way he found the office where Benjamin Carter was shot.
I heard him say that it was messed up. But I don't know what happened after I left. All I know is that it was a wreck when I went out of the door. The whole room was torn up. Bottles broken, chairs.
Would you say it was a life and death struggle, Max?
Yeah. Carter had a gun in that desk drawer, and he tried to get it out.
Then what happened?
Well, I told him to come with me. I'd better put him in jail for his own protection.
Max, did you intend to kill Benjamin Carter when you went to his office that night?
No. Yeah, no. I don't remember exactly now. It seems that it's all mixed up.
Well, just answer yes or no, Max. When you were in that office, did you intend to kill this man, Benjamin Carter?
Well, he rushed around to the desk to get that drawer open where the gun was.
Max, let me ask you this way. Did you kill Benjamin Carter in cold blood?
No, I didn't.
That's all. You may cross-examine.
Just a minute, Mr. Tilly.
Yeah?
Now, Mr. Tilly, you want us to believe this story of yours about something terrible happening to your wife as a result of this poison. Wife as a result of this poisoning.
I ain't answering that.
Answer my question, yes or no.
Yeah.
That's better. And you want us to believe all of this flimsy story about you losing your mind and seeing snakes. Believing you had to go forth and kill an innocent man in order to protect your family.
That's true. I did see snitch.
Isn't it true, Max Tilly, that you actually left your house that night with a gun, walked down these very streets of Sanders, past these very friends and associates of yours, and walked right into the very office of Benjamin Carter at the Hotel Stratford Arms with the intent to shoot him down in cold blood? Didn't you want to put this man out of your way because he was becoming your business rival in this town? Answer me.
I object, Judge. I object.
Your Honor, what? I appeal to you. Make this man answer my question.
Hey, what right have you got to appeal to his honor? I'm the guy who's going to take the rap for this if you have your way.
Order!
Now, Mr. Tilly, you must answer counsel's question.
Yeah, but he's making it look like I'm a rat.
You had a chance to be examined by your own lawyer.
Yeah, but even he don't know the whole story. I didn't tell it.
Your Honor, is it necessary for us to continue these extra legal proceedings any further? I'm through with the witness. He may step down.
Yeah, but I ain't through. Not by a long shot.
Your Honor, this trial's turning into a farce.
Mr. Hinkler, are you insinuating that I don't know what I'm doing?
I demand that this man be taken off the stand.
Mr. Hinkler, you may ask to have this man taken off the stand, but you may not demand it. Mr. Clinton, have you anything to ask this defendant in rebuttal?
Yes, I have, Your Honor.
Then you may do so. Will you please be seated, Mr. Hinkler?
Now, Max.
Yeah?
It's been very hard for me to fight this case for you. You withheld evidence from me. Now, I want you to tell the jury in your own words exactly what happened on that night.
Okay, Pete. I will.
Order. Order in the court.
Ladies and gents of the jury, and Your Honor, a lot of things have been said about me. Most of them bad, right here in this joint. I guess people have got lots of reasons for saying bad things about me. But maybe a few of them could have said some good things, too. But I'll let that go. Now, when I first come to this here town, I was what everybody here called me, a gangster and a hoodlum. But I ain't that now. I'm a softy. Some guys, when they reform, get religion. Some get straightened out in other ways. I guess I got what you might call a combination of everything good. I got Mary Sully. I'm going to ask you, you guys on the jury who know her, do you think I could possibly be bad anymore? with her looking after me. I know, little Tim, God. I got my faults. So's everybody, I guess. But I ain't no killer. I found that out. I went to Carter's office in the hotel with a gun in my pocket. Yeah. I admit that. I admit that, Mr. Hinkler. I went there with the idea in my head that I was going to bump him off. And I really thought I was. He was a rat, I thought. And he didn't deserve to live. Well, maybe he did. I don't know. I don't remember very much what happened. But I do remember him getting scared when I walked into the office, and I do remember him admitting that he poisoned the water. But then, instead of killing him, I thought about how sick Mary was and what the whole rotten thing had done to her. And I didn't want to hurt her anymore. So I told Carter to come along, that I was going to have him locked up so he'd be safe from me. And then the fight begun, and in the struggle, the gun went off, and, well, you all know about that. You can ask me why I wanted to kill Carter in the first place. Well, that's kind of hard to answer. The Bible says something about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I guess I was going to get my revenge from Carter. He committed a murder. My wife, Mary, was to become a mother.
At last, Max, we know why you wanted to kill Carter. Tomorrow the case goes to the jury. What will their verdict be? Be sure to listen to the next episode in the life of Mary Southern, brought you by the makers of Heinz Honey and Almond Cream. And now for our story. What a day yesterday in this stirring trial of Max Tilly for the murder of Benjamin Carter. Max climaxed the entire trial when he held out at the bar of justice to tell his own story to the jury. The story he saw that needed telling. Those last climaxing dramatic words, "Benjamin Carter committed murder. My wife was to have become a mother." This was followed by the summation of the attorneys, and I understand the jury was immediately locked up to consider their verdict. It is now about 10 o'clock in the morning, and the jury has been out all night. A comparative lull has occurred in the courtroom where only a few persons directly interested in its outcome are talking quietly.
The jury's reached a verdict.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The jury has reached a verdict. I see Mary Southern looking about anxiously. I'll take you right down to her little group in the front of the courtroom and find out what's happened.
I'll do it. I can't stand this strain much longer, I'm afraid.
Mary, you ought to go home. Daddy or John will call you as soon as there's any word.
Oh, she's so tired. Mary, why don't you come over to my house? I'll make you some tea. You can lie down. These benches are so hard.
No,
I couldn't rest. John, what's all this excitement, Dad? I haven't had word.
I don't know, Mary.
Oh, Mr. Clinton. Why are all these people in here? Is there any word?
Well, just a minute, Mary. Something's up. Just a minute.
Clinton, I think they're coming in.
Yes, I think so, too.
Let's have a little less noise in this courtroom. Order in the court. Order, please.
Oh, here he comes now. Oh, poor Max. He looks so tired. It must have been a terrible night for him last night.
Oh, hello, George. Hello.
Hello, Dad.
Did you get some sleep last night?
Oh, Max, I wanted so much to take you home and let you sleep quietly in my arms.
Oh, Mary, listen. Whatever they say here today, just remember, I love you.
I think you'd better sit down here, Max.
Yeah, sure. I understand, Max, that the jury had a pretty heated session.
That means it's no good.
No, not necessarily. Might be a disagreement.
That's when the jury hangs itself.
Yes, a hung jury.
Is that any good?
Well, it's better than a conviction.
Yeah, I guess we don't have much to look for.
Huh? Well, Max, it's a tight case.
Yeah.
I don't want to upset you either way, but all I can say is that we shall hope for the best.
Sure.
Here comes the jury now.
Court, please rise. Be seated.
Oh, my. I can hardly breathe.
Yes, ma'am.
Gentlemen of the jury, have you agreed upon your verdict? Your Honor, we find the defendant, Max Tilly, not guilty.
Oh, God's sake, Pete. I'm free, Pete.
Order. Order in the court. I'll clear the court.
Philip.
Order. Order in the court. Order.
Mary. Mary, he won. He's free. Free. Oh, Max, where is he? Did they mean to... Oh, take me to him, gentlemen.
Oh, yes, Mary.
Come on. Oh, but I can't get to him. They're all around him. Oh, Max. Max. Where's John Benson?
Thanks very much. Hey, thanks. Hey, wait a minute. I can't shake another hand. Boy, I'll drop. Say, where's Pete? Where's Mary? Say, I want to see Mary. Mary.
Max, huh? My car's gone wild.
We better get you out of here.
Hey, Pete, listen. It's Mary I want. I can't find her.
I'm sorry, Max, but when the crowd heard the verdict, they were just like a thundering herd. Huh? I'm afraid Mary has had to seek shelter.
Yeah, but I got to see her, Pete.
You'd better wait till we get you out of here. Yeah. It might be too much for Mary.
Terrible.
Right.
Stand back, please. Stand back. You can see him later. Stand by.
Oh, Dr. Benson, there goes that sneak, Mr. Cole. He's trying to get out without our notice.
Yes, Fowler. I want to lay my hands on him, too.
Yeah.
He's a crook if there ever was one. Come on, John. I've got an idea.
Mr. Tilly. I think you and your friends had better come into my chamber.
Well, sir, Your Honor, I want to thank you and the jury for the way they handled my trial.
Well, Mr. Tilly, if we do the best we can,
yeah.
All we want is justice. That's good enough for me.
Well, shake, Judge. Say, you're a real guy.
Well, don't mind if I do. You're not so bad yourself, Mr. Tilly.
Thank
Mr.
You.
Tilly, I want to give you my congratulations.
Huh? You too?
Yes, I know when a case is fairly won. Time for fair play every time.
Well, say, in that case, I'll shake your hands, too.
You certainly put one over on me the way you jumped in there and made that plea.
Yeah.
I'm not so bad a lawyer myself, but...
You better stop that, Mr. Prosecuting Attorney, before you break your arm.
Well, say, he is pretty good, Pete. Boy, he sure had me going there for a while. I never knew a man could make me so mad.
And Mr. Tilly, I want to apologize for another matter I never learned about until a moment ago.
Yeah, what's that, Mr. Prosecutor?
It's about what happened there in Carter's room before the shooting occurred.
Huh?
I thought you were lying about that.
Oh, you mean about that fight between me and Carter?
Yes. There certainly was no evidence to show that any struggle took place, and that mystified me.
Say, you know, I couldn't figure that one out. They said that that room, when it was opened, why, there wasn't a thing out of place. Only a chair turned over. Say, that didn't make sense. And the door was locked. Say, I didn't lock that door.
I know now that you didn't.
Huh?
I found the fly in the ointment.
Yeah, what was that?
I discovered this witness, Myth Cole, was lying to me. He went in there and straightened things up.
Why, the rat.
Exactly what I said when I found it out. Don't worry. I'll put the burn on him.
Well, George, it's mighty well of you to come out with it. I want to say you're the squarest prosecutor I was ever up against.
Well, that is welcome from a man like you, Clinton. Thanks.
Well, say, listen, fellas, listen. I got to find my wife. Boy, she went through plenty during this trial.
Huh?
I think Phyllis took her out to Mr.
What?
Tilly a moment ago. I'm afraid the crowd in the courtroom was too much for her.
Oh, gosh. Well, say, I got to go then. Mm-hmm. Say, listen, Peter, I want to thank you for all you've done for me before I forget it. And... I won't forget it. And now I gotta go to Mary. Say, listen, I want all you boys to come over to the house tonight. All of you, you understand?
Sure.
The prosecution and the defense, and we'll celebrate.
Sure.
See?
Sure.
I want all of you to come over.
And so I says to her, you don't know nothing about Max Tilly. Anybody with the eye of a ghost can see the man couldn't kill a flea. Then she says, look what his old man did. Ran off with $1 million of the town's money.
I beg your pardon. It was not this community's money.
Well, anyhow, she says, I always believe, like father, like son. You know, them old proverbs are awful true. And I says, I'll say, special, that one about rolling the stone, gathering no moss, did that shut her up?
My dear Viola, my precious little wife, my sweet, delightful, Rhododendron, will you please say nothing of the word until we finish with this table?
Oh, Burberry, don't be an old blanket.
I fail to see what old blankets have to do with this matter. However, my dear, you must realize we have dozens of people coming here tonight. Oh, dear, you Americans do wear me out. Now, I really should use the fang linens for so grand an occasion, but you Americans, you always burn holes in it with your cigarettes. No, no, I can't do it. Absolutely, I cannot see good linen wasted on careless people. But then, maybe they will be careful tonight because of Mr. Max. What do you think, my dear? Oh, Viola, dear, where are you? Where are you? Oh, my dear, I'm ashamed of you, peeping through that keyhole.
But it's so lovely. Just take a peek. Go on, Burberry.
Well, oh. This is hardly decent in the gentleman's house. You say they are so lovey-tubby.
See for yourself, Burberry. You've got eyes.
Oh, well, let's see if it isn't.
Oh, my darling. I wanted to take you in my arms when the foreman said those words, not guilty. Oh, Max, they're the most wonderful words in the whole world to me now.
There are only two others that are better than that.
Well, there are none better, Max.
Yeah, Mary. Just two others. Mary Summer.
Oh, Max, darling. You thrill me more every day. I know I'm not that good, but I'm grateful that I do mean something.
Oh, you mean everything, Mary. You mean life and death. You mean strength and courage and hope and all that's good to me. You know when I found that all out?
No.
I found it out there in jail. Listen, Toots. There's nothing like a jail cell, four close, hard walls to make you figure out what's good in life and what's worth fighting for.
Oh, darling. It was so hard. We've both grown from it. I'm happy. So happy that you've found so much in me that means good to you.
Mary, I don't speak the kind of language some other people do. I know how to say what's in my heart. And it's for you.
Mm. You kissed me only twice since you came home.
Oh, gee, Toots, I'm slipping. Hey, wait a minute. I got to make up for lots of lost time.
Oh, you think my brother might not? Oh, but I like it.
Still the old eternal springtime, I do.
Oh, Max, I've got something to tell you. Something very confidential.
What is it, Toots? Something awful sweet?
Mm-hmm. Max, I'll become a mother again. In time.
And all we can say is that finally affairs in the town of Sanders are straightened out. At least the most immediate problems. And our friends can begin anew to carry on the fulfillment of their hopes and desires. What about the carrying on of the Kitty Clinic? What will happen to Stratford Springs and the bottling works? Will the new 1,000-room hotel be built in Sanders for Daddy Stratford? And what is the future for Banny Stratford? And last but not least, what are the experiences lying ahead for our beloved Mary Southern and Max Tilly on this rugged highway of life?
Mary, alone in her room at the Stratford Springs Hotel, is suddenly awakened from daydreaming by a knock on the door. She opens it, and there stands Dr. John Benson, a lifelong friend of Mary's, a man who always has been, and probably always will be, in love with her.
Oh, hello, John. I thought it was Daddy Stratford. Come on in.
You weren't taking a nap, were you, Mary?
I was just about in that half asleep stage where you think you're awake and you dream all sorts of nice things. That's all right. Sit down. How's Phyllis? Have you seen her today?
Hey, listen, that little girl is about as healthy a mama to be that I've seen since I've been a doctor.
Oh, I'm so happy for Danny. He's such a sweet boy.
Boy, to hear Daddy Stratford. She wants to lay me 2-1. It'll be a boy.
Oh, I hope it is. He'll be so cute with little Martha.
Yeah, there's a good stuff on him when he gets older. I always did hate older sisters. They dominate. Oh, by the way, Mary, I had a talk with Max today.
Oh? Oh, what about? Here's Max, please.
Thanks. Oh, about, well, marriage, women, kids, life in general.
Mm-hmm. Was my husband in his usual good form?
No, he wasn't.
You mean he was kidding too much again?
I don't think he was kidding, Mary. That's why I came over to see you.
Oh, I don't know what you mean, John.
Mary, Max told me he was fed up with married life.
Oh, he did.
I knew he had it on his chest, so I egged him on to tell me everything. He did.
Well, John, I don't think that's anything for you to worry about. After all, I knew what I was doing when I married Max. I know he's restless and impetuous, but I don't think you should bother yourself about it.
You didn't mind my own business?
Oh, now, John, you know me too well to know I mean anything like that, but...
Mary, you know I love you. So I always have and always will.
John.
You know that when you married Max, I warned him and I warned you that if he ever did anything to hurt you, I'd break him in two.
Max hasn't done anything, John. Oh, I know he's been a little... well, crabby lately. But we have this new hotel on our hands. It's been a problem. Well, I guess all husbands get a little like that once in a while. But he'll get over it, I'm sure he will.
Okay, I just thought you ought to know.
What did he say, John?
Oh, nothing about you personally, Mary. He just rambled on about how married life ties a man down, how it keeps him from being himself, and all that stuff. You know, Max, when he gets on a subject, it just goes on and on.
And you think he was really curious?
Yes, I do. I wouldn't have bothered you about it.
Is that all he said?
You want to know it all?
Yes, John, I do. I'll tell you why. Because lately I've noticed a change in Max myself. He isn't the same. But he won't say anything to me. Tell me everything he said, John.
He mentioned that he had two children by another man to keep.
Yes?
But none of his own.
Oh.
I only told you that, Mary, to give you an idea of how he's thinking.
Yes, of course, John. I'm glad you did. It does help me to understand a lot better.
Well, I'll be going. Don't tell Max I've said anything to you, but I've seen you today because you might start something and I...
Yes, hello, Max.
What are you doing here, Benson?
Max, John just came to see him in. Well, I wasn't feeling well, Max. I called him to look at me.
Just do as I told you, Mary, and you'll be all right in a few days.
Yeah, I hope so, John. And thanks. And if you see Daddy downstairs, tell him I'll take a little of that 2-to-1 that Phyllis next baby's a boy.
All right, Mary. Bye.
Bye, John. Daddy Stratford's sure that Phyllis and Danny's next baby's going to be a boy. He wants to bet 2-to-1.
What did Benson want over here?
I told you, Max.
You weren't sick this morning. What's wrong with you?
Don't you think I'd better ask you the same thing?
Well, me? Nothing's wrong with me. I'm okay. Where's my bathrobe? I'm going to take a bath.
Before dinner?
Oh, why not? Ain't that allowed in married life either?
Oh, I didn't mean it that way, Max. If you want to take a bath, we'll just eat later, that's all. I'll feed the baby now instead.
Do we have to do everything around here to suit those kids? And where's my slippers?
Under the bed. Oh. Come on, Max. Get it off your chest.
Get what off my chest? What are you talking about?
We've been married a year now, and you've never acted like this before. Something's wrong with you.
Oh, you're crazy. I'm okay.
No, you're not, Max. Daddy's noticed it. Danny and Phyllis have mentioned it. John Fowler and so John Benson.
Oh, is that what he was up here for? Tell you that I talked to him?
Yes, and I'm glad he did.
I knew that pure old blab off his mouth. He hangs around you every chance he gets. I'm getting sick of him, too.
Max, you can't talk that way about John. He's our friend.
Now, leave me out of it. He's your friend. If you don't care what you say.
Max, do you know what you're saying?
Yeah, sure I know what I'm saying. I'm fed up. I'm sick of being married. Playing second fiddle to a couple of kids. And they're as much trouble as if they were my own.
They are yours, Max. When you married me, you took them as your own.
Well, what if I did? I'm sick of it. That's what I am. We never have any more laughs. All you do is work in that hotel all day with Daddy Stratford. Does Max fix this? Max tender this? Or you think you married me to be a janitor to that joint?
Oh.
I want some fun out of life, Mary. Always did have it, and I ain't going to be without it now.
Well, then why don't you go and get it?
Now, how can I get it if you don't give it to me?
There's plenty of things to do in Sanders without me.
Yeah, I'd like to know what. I can't look at another woman without the whole town talking. I can't even wink an eye without Doc Benson or Daddy Stratford or somebody come running to tell you. Living in this burg has got on my nerves, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the whole thing. When I married you, I thought we'd have a pack of laughs together. Boy, oh boy, was I ever wrong. You used to be a good-looking dame. You used to be a lot of laughs, but you ain't anymore.
Hey.
I mean it. You've let those kids of yours wear you down to a frazzle. You let Daddy Stratford and that hotel worry you until you got bags under your eyes. Now I guess you're going to start worrying about Danny and Phyllis having another kid. It's worry, worry, worry. That's all you know how to do. But you don't ever worry about me, and I'm sick of it.
Yes, I hope you know what you said.
Sure, I know what I said. Where's my clean underwear?
In the top drawer. You really meant everything you said about my baby, about me?
Sure, I meant it. Didn't Benson tell you I said the same thing?
Yes, but I couldn't believe it.
Well, now you can.
Yes. Yes, I can. He also told me you said you resented very much that I hadn't given you a child of your own.
Well, wouldn't you? Wasn't that one of the gags that we laughed about before we got married? And we'd have kids, you and me, and mix them up with yours so we couldn't tell them apart?
I know.
Sure, we laughed about that. Well, so far, it's still just your kid.
But, Max, that's not our fault.
Well, that's mine. Now, don't wait for me for dinner. I'm going over to Fulton tonight. Maybe I can get a laugh out of that more for a change.
Hello, operator. Is Dr. John Benson still in his office downstairs? Yes. Ring, please. Hello, John. Mary. Oh, John, you were right. All right, I won't cry. No, he's here. He's taking a shower. Yes. Just as you said, he stood up. With me, with Sandra, with the children, with everything. And he's resenting the fact that he doesn't have a child of his own. Oh, John, what am I going to do? He's like a little restless puppy. He wants to get out and run. I've tried so hard to keep him happy. I've done everything in the world. I've known how to make our marriage a success. But I failed, John. No. No, John, it isn't temporary. You don't know Max as I do. I failed miserably. And, oh, John, I'm loving you so much. I can't lose you. I just can't lose you. What am I going to do?
What a strange way for the life of Mary Southern to begin. But then, life is that way. And what woman in our audience hasn't at some time in her life seen, recognized, and feared that restless period in her own husband? But what will Mary Southern do about it? In just a moment, we'll return to the life of Mary Southern to see what tomorrow's scenes hold in store for us. While we haven't had an opportunity to really know Max Tilly Sanders, we must take the word of thousands who have known and loved this irresponsible, happy-go-lucky young man for the past 5 years that he was one of the most likable, lovable young scamps they had ever known. And then when Mary Southern married Max, everyone said that here was the perfect match. Mary, with her sweet, sympathetic understanding, her fine, down-to-earth character, seemed to be just the right sort of counterbalance for Max and his light-hearted, careless ways. But now, a year has passed since the marriage of Mary Southern and Max Tilley, and marital storm warnings are in the air. Max has become a restless husband. The confining code of married life seems to be too much for the young man. He, like every other man in that dangerous period, is beginning to find fault with everything Mary does. And what is worse, is complaining about being a foster father to her twin babies by a former marriage, and not a father to a child of his own. Yesterday, Mary decided that it was time she'd do something desperate to save the man she loved. What her decision was, we don't know. But knowing Mary Southern as we do, and as you will in a very short while, we're certain that whether her decision is right or wrong, she'll go through with it once her mind is made. As we resume, it is early evening in the office of Dr. John Benton, friend and silent lover of Mary Southern for years. A lot of us refer to him as good old John, because whenever Mary needs an understanding friend, John is always ready and willing to help all he can. As we join Dr. John, he is answering the front door of his Main Street office.
Pardon me, but is this the branch office of the Stork Baby Delivery Corporation?
Well, what the dickens are you doing downtown? Come on in.
Well, Dr. Benton, I just got a little restless.
That restless business seems to run on the Sanders family. Come back in the office.
All right. I just started taking a little walk and ended up in front of your office, though. I thought I'd drop in for a free consultation.
You worry about it being free. I'll put it on the bill. Only I'll hide it behind some high-sounding name. Here, let me take your coat.
Thanks. Whew. That's quite a walk from the hotel down here.
You bet it is. But it won't hurt you. Nothing better than mild exercise and plenty of fresh air for young mamas to be. Cigarette?
I should say not. I might be modern, but no smoking, drinking, or chewing for me at a time like this.
No, girl. Where's that husband of yours?
Danny's at the hotel. He's on the switchboard.
Hey, what happened to that good-looking switchboard operator you have at the Stratford on? Now, don't tell me he's gone just when I was about to ask her for a date.
Well, they had to let her go. Daddy and Danny are doubling up every place they can to save money. Hotel isn't doing so well.
I'll say that.
Oh, I wish I could help, too, but...
Yeah, that's all you have to do. Scrub floors in your condition.
Oh, I don't know. Our pioneer mothers did it. And look at the wonderful children they brought into the world.
Okay, you win. But don't you start pioneering.
Danny even worries when I lift my knife and fork at the table.
Ah, you sweet kid. I love both of you. You and Danny have a lot in each other.
I don't guess we could be much happier.
Then you marry and Max and be as happy as you are.
John. What do you think, Brian? Is it Mary's fault, or is it Max's? I'd like to know, and don't you care because Max is my brother. I know he's no saint. I know the problems Mary must have with him. But just what do you think is wrong?
Phyllis, frankly, I don't know. Mary seems to think that he's just restless and fed up, not just of her, but of married life.
Oh, but it happens, John. They love each other.
Yes, I think they do.
Oh, you know how Max is, always kidding and fooling and bragging about what a great lover he is. Ah, but he's crazy. He's good. Look what he's done for you. There's the kitty clinic. Oh, he's kept Sanders going, even after Dad ran away with all the money. He didn't have to stay here and face the music. He could have run out, but he didn't.
Wait a minute, Philip. You don't have to tell me on Max's good point. I know them. So does Mary. That's why she married him.
Well, then maybe Mary needs it. Well, a little taking up. Like I did 2 years ago. Remember?
Yes, I remember. But you snapped out.
Well, Mary's been working very hard at the hotel to make it go. Maybe she ought to... Well, think of Max a little more.
No, Phyllis, don't say that. You know Mary as well as I do.
that no matter what she does, how hard she works at anything else, she's number one, a woman. She wants love and romance and all that goes with it, just as much as Max does.
That's what I always thought, but...
It's Max, Phyllis. He's the unreasonable faction. He's acting pretty nasty. He said some pretty bad things to me. He said some pretty bad things to Mary.
Oh, no, Johnny, couldn't. Oh, what, for instance?
Well, the worst thing he said to her is... Well, he wants a child of his own. He's getting discouraged and disagreeable about Mary's friends.
Oh, but, John, why do Max love those children like his own?
Well, if he does, he's not saying so.
Oh, I can't believe
it's
that.
It's true, Phyllis. Max is being very unreasonable because he's in a nasty mood. Mary can't reason with him.
Oh, but they're not going to break up, are they?
I don't know what they're going to do. Mary has a plan, which I think is crazy, but you know Mary. She makes up her mind to do something without stopping her.
Well, what is it, John? Tell me.
No, I promised her not to, Phyllis. You asked her to tell you.
Well, I can see I'd better have a talk with Max myself.
I wouldn't if I were you. It'll just excite you, and you can't afford that right now. I've left a message at the hotel for Max to drop over here when he comes in. I'm going to have a talk with him. See if I can't straighten him out. Well, another customer.
Well, I'd better be going. Oh, look. Do what you can for Max, John.
Sure, certainly. You don't suppose good old John is going to sit by and see anything happen to Mary and Max without a least a struggle.
Ah, you're sweet, John.
And I'm cute, too. All right, let's slow down and walk out the door again.
Oh, hurrying me away, huh? Is the customer a blonde?
I hope so. And you take care of yourself. Just don't forget, Daddy's betting the family jewels that it's a boy.
Confidentially, Dr. Benson, just how are you betting?
Well, confidentially, Mr. Stratford, I've called the bookmaker and bet him all he'd take that it'll be a boy.
Did you get 2-1?
No, darn it. He said that I had speed dark information. All he'd lay me was even money.
Goodbye, John.
Better get over to room and have him drive you back to the hotel.
I will. Oh, hello, Max.
Hi, sis. Hi, Pillower.
Hello, Max. Get my message?
Yep. Say, how's the little family coming along, sis?
Well, it's about time you asked me. You've been such a stranger, I was afraid you'd have whiskers before you'd come to see me.
Well, I've been busy lately.
So I've heard, doing nothing.
Huh? What do you mean?
Oh, I get around. Goodbye, John.
So long, Phyllis. Take care of yourself.
I will. Goodbye, brother dear.
So long, sis.
Say hello to Danny for me.
I will, John. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy, it's April, and I feel like a new man.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Come on back in the office.
Sure, sure. Say, you got any of that medicinal brandy back there, Doc?
I think so. Want a little eye
drop?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wash trouble, do. Well, what's on your mind, Doc?
Sit down, Max.
Oh, okay. Jim,
brandy for you.
There you are. Help yourself.
Well, thanks, pal. Thanks. A good dose.
Hey, you seem in a pretty good mood.
I'm always in a good mood. I'm a regular little Annie Polly.
Pollyanna.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's how.
Look.
Oh, boy, that's terrific.
Mary was over to see me earlier this afternoon.
Yeah. You know, John, you should have been with me last night. Boy, did I have a time.
You told Mary you had a business meeting.
Oh, well, I have to tell her something. Say, look, I'm going over again tomorrow night. How about come along with me? We'll have a lot of laughs.
Here, let's take this inkwell and cram it down your throat.
Huh? Now, what do you mean, Doc?
You know what I mean. I told you Mary was over to see me this afternoon.
Well, so what?
If I didn't have to make a couple of calls tonight, I'd wipe up this office with you. Have you gone off your nut?
Hey, listen, pal. You called me over here to...
You shut up. Yes, I did call you over here to speak to you. Max, do you know you're breaking Mary's heart?
Yeah, I think you better keep out of this, Doc. That's Mary's and my affair. We got an understanding.
That's what you think, but you're wrong. Mary cried her eyes out to me. She doesn't know what to do. You've been acting like a silly little spoiled kid with a dirty, nasty tongue in his head.
Hey, pot down with that
pot. I will not. You blew off your bazoo on me the other day about how fed up you were, and now you're going to listen to me.
Okay, big shot. Fire away.
If I didn't love Mary so much, I'd smear that nose of yours all over your face. And you know I can do it, too.
Oh, I admit that you and me have had a couple of draws in the past. And I ain't shaken.
I know you're not. mistaken. That's because you've lost every little ounce of decency that Murray put into you. You're doing exactly what I thought you'd do. You're slipping back into that hoodlum life you lived before you met Murray and she straightened you out.
Well, maybe I'm getting sick of it.
Sure, you're getting sick of
it. Now, listen, Doc. When I want advice from you, I'll ask you. And I'll pay for it.
Oh, yeah? Well, here's some advice you're going to get without asking for it.
Yeah?
And it's free. Whether you know it or not, Mary's desperate. She doesn't know which way to turn. She's got her babies to think of. She's got the hotel in her hands. And a love in her heart for a worthless no-account like you. And that's enough to drive any sane woman back.
She'll be all right.
Yeah, she'll be all right. She can't hold out that long. But she's a woman, and she loves you. Why, I'll never know. She does. She's willing to do anything to hold on to you. Do you understand? Anything.
What do you mean? Anything.
I'll let her tell you. All I want to say is this. Because Mary loves you, I want to warn you. If you don't straighten out, but quick, and Mary goes through with a plan that's in her head right now, you're going to be the unhappiest man in this whole world. And mark my words, you'll come crawling back on your hands and knees, begging her to forgive you. And if they do, I hope she spits in your face and then kicks you.
Now, the life of Mary Southern. Yesterday, Dr. John Bennett.